Hey everybody, Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols here with another Tactical Fitness Report. And first of all, Happy New Year 2021. Thank goodness 2020 is over, Jeff.
Right, I know. It's like, why are we even counting at this point? It's like it could get further in the rearview mirror. But that's the whole idea. Like, we're still going to deal with some of those stuff, but that's fine. Like, it emotionally, right, it does feel like so strange. Like, I've never really had a resolution in my whole life ever. But so it's interesting we're talking about this, because it's like, this is the first New Year's where I've really felt like, okay, like, gotta do something different. I gotta start something different here. So here we are talking about it.
Well, that's a good point, because one, I hate the term resolution, because as you and I both know, people start it like the last week of December, and the term resolution is no longer in our vocabulary by mid-January, right? It's done. It's just kind of like the word resolution goes with the number of people in the gym, and then towards the third week of January, all those newcomers are gone. And the word resolution is gone too. You know, the two go hand in hand. That's just, yeah. It's just not a good way to restart everything. And, you know, where I think where a lot of people fail is they just do too much too soon, all at once. You know, they have three bad habits they're trying to break. They're trying to build two good habits of fitness and diet and, you know, whatever. And it's just too much. And, you know, unfortunately, that's where a lot of people fail. So I think what we're going to talk about today, Jeff, if you want, and you can carry on with that, you know, segue there, is instead of calling it a resolution, let's call it a reset.
Right.
You know, what are we resetting in our life, and why? How do you know you need a reset?
Yeah, and like, everyone's a little bit different. So I think what Stu and I'll do is just, you know, from our experiences as individuals where we need a reset, or also with a multitude of athletes that we've seen over our years of coaching where we recognize resets. And I know, like, for example, Stu has mentioned many, many times in our discussions about probably the first person that notices he needs a reset is his wife, right? Oh, yeah. Like, we talked about, like, you know, get grumpy. Like, mine's not probably that much dissimilar from other people, you know, too. And we'll get into that, but like, I agree. Stu and I aren't trying to poo-poo resolution, like the resolutioners. What we're trying to do is like understand that it's not the resolution that's the issue. It's and this is funny because Ben Pekulski and a friend of mine, Derek Woodski, did a podcast a couple weeks ago. I posted, and Derek was talking a lot about goal setting at that upper echelon. Like, how does that look different? Like, is goal setting different for a resolutioner as it is for your Olympic athlete? Actually, no, it's not. In context of like what we're trying to talk about is like, if you change or create too many variables that can't be managed, you end up falling into a deeper crisis, and then you're like, ah, you're frustrated, and your resolution really becomes, you know, kind of a joke, right? So that's what we're here to do, is try to help you guys understand that resolution. Caught it. Let's talk about reset. And when we talk about reset, we'll try to help you guys with ways to do that, not just say, hey, change all these variables,
right?
Maybe we can help you guys create a thought process around how to actually look inward to you and say, like, okay, what's really, can I change right now, and where do I put my energy right out of the gate so I don't 2 or 3 weeks later lose faith in my own process, you know? So that's kind of what we're trying to think about doing, especially for the tactical population where the stress doesn't go away.
Right. And you know, the whole new year, new you thing. And here's my problem with that is that, you know, just because it's January 1 doesn't mean that is a good time to start a goal. I mean, you can start a goal any day, right? But where I think where a lot of people fail is it's January 1. They have to do something. They think of something that they want to change in their life, but they're really not into it. And if you were to compare the resolutioner to the guy like Derek Woodski, who's preparing for the Olympics, or have athletes preparing for the Olympics, there's a completely different animal there, because if I'm going to really make a change in my life, whether that is a project, a good habit, a bad habit gets broken, I have to really want to do that, right? It has to be a deep resonating factor in my mind every day, not just some arbitrary date that says you have to start doing this.
Right.
You know, so it goes a little bit deeper than, you know, the resolution and the goal. So that's what I'd like to kind of differentiate between the resolution, the goal, the reset, whatever you want to call it. You really need to find something that hits you deep inside on why you want to do it. You have to have a good why before any of these journeys.
Yeah. And then like my next step then to that is like, okay, you've established a why, then like, where do I start? And that's where people, I think, kind of lose traction, is because they're trying to find the perfect start. And that is where a lot of frustration from, as a coach's perspective, I look at and go, don't, like, hey, no, like, don't be so frustrated. Don't, like, it's daunting, admittedly, like, it must be extremely daunting for some. But don't undervalue the value of just changing a couple of real small things that you might seem very inconsequential. Like, you, we can make fun of the whole make your bed every day kind of thing, but, and I've done that, but it's like, man, like, when I'm talking to tell people, like, they really are concerned with mental toughness, like, they've got a routine down, we'll call it, like, their workout routine's fine, but when we're talking real mental toughness or grit or like resiliency, what it often comes down to for a lot of people is just, they're not doing the little things, right? They're trying to change these things in their head that are big. Like, I need to put on 20 pounds. Well, before you put on or take away 20 pounds, the first thing you probably need to do is like, make sure your hydration is good. Like, it's a basic thing, but it's so, the basics are so often overlooked because they're so not sexy. No one's advertising and making, no one is monetizing their business and fitness or performance off of hydration, unless you're a company. Like, right. Like, you think about it, like no one's going to listen to Stu Smith and I if we're all, we just like, hey, performance value is only hydration. But it's super important, right? And then that's just an example. So just kind of give you guys an idea of like, okay, so like my mind looks at, okay, let's try to keep this objective, so I'm not losing people. Okay. We're really talking about training and fitness. So what are we really talking about? We're really talking about getting a routine, finding a good program, and starting off small. So that's the big thing. Now, we can say that the pretty simple solution from starting off small as far as programming is pick either one of mine or Stu's programs. That's a good training start. Got it. Check. Got the training down. Okay. And then from there, I'm always, you know, probably always going to say, hey, what's your sleep look like? Right? What's your diet look like? And that's the whole other side too. So that's kind of where my, as a coach, when I'm trying to position my athletes, I'm going, okay, fix the little things that we can, get a good program, get on a good routine.
I like that, Jeff. I'm going to take it one step backwards even more. Like, you don't normally train now and you're trying to get started with training, right? I wrote an article about this the other day, and I mean, it was, you're right. There's nothing sexy about it. It was simply stretching, walking, and drinking more water. I mean, that was the basics right there. You just stretch a little more, walk a little more, and drink more water. Or if you can really do it, where I've seen a lot of people make great success, I'm talking 75, 80 pound weight loss in a year, is stretch, drink more water, replace any soda with water.
Yeah.
And keep walking.
Yeah. Right?
And just add walking, just add steps. You can count your steps. You can have a daily goal of how many steps you do or distance, you know, whatever. But I mean, that works.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so easy.
Yeah. You just hit the first thing I usually, if I'm going to go into the very particulars like you, typically one of the first things I'll address with an athlete is just that, like, hey, what's my first goal for the week? Other than, okay, here's the program, you know, make sure you're taking rest days, whatever. But beyond that, I don't even usually talk about sleep just yet. The first thing usually is, this week, I want you to just make your one priority, right, is to drink at least a gallon of water for 4 straight days. 4 to 7 days of the week, try to drink a gallon of water or something. You know, like, that's something people go like, well, what the hell? Well, if you as an athlete, we'll call you guys athletes, right? especially in tactical space where you're probably dehydrated anyway, if you're able to come back to Stu or I and report, go, yes, I did it. I drank what you, I did the water that you said for the first week at least. Like that was like, and people have satisfaction in that goal of achieving it. You bet. They're going to feel better for it. Like, don't overlook the value of something that seems so unimportant. Like how it is. Don't, especially nowadays, you know, like I think a lot of people are really seeking for something that's tangible, right? It's a crazy time right now. And don't undervalue the tangible nature of just achieving those little goals right now. Really.
Yeah, no kidding. I'll tell you something, a really tangible number. You know, this is no kidding. This can happen to you, especially if you're dehydrated going into this, right? And let's say you're dehydrated, you're retaining water. And how do you know you're retaining water? You take off your socks and you can still see your socks on your skin, right? It's probably a little tight. Maybe even your hands are puffy, right? You're just retaining water. If you put in a gallon of water a day and you do it for a week, I have seen guys who might be 320 pounds, do a gallon of water a day. And at the end of 1 week, that's 50 pounds of water roughly that they've consumed. And they've peed out 70 pounds of water.
Yeah.
You know, you can lose 20 pounds in a week if you're retaining that much water. And I don't see it with everybody, but I've seen that with a lot of people. That's how important water is.
If someone is chronically dehydrated, as that's what Stu is explaining, you have a big guy, he's chronically dehydrated, which is very common because of body mass. You know, your body will hold water when it knows it's not getting enough. So here's a really, really inexpensive, marker for hydration that you can tangibly feel. You know, those silicone rings? You can buy knockoffs by the dozen on Amazon for next to nothing. Get one of your fingers, doesn't matter which one, get a ring put on it where it fits, not snug, it fits well. That is your marker of hydration. If it's really, really tight, you are underhydrated. If it's loose, you're properly hydrated. Now, the other swing is if you're purposely cutting water weight, you'll drop, of course. But that's how I can always tell, is like the ring that I'll have on, or like even sometimes you're closed to a point, your shoes, flip-flops, like a big slip-on shoe. But man, you can, when I'm really well hydrated, I can grab my hands and I can feel my knuckles. I can feel my tendons. I can feel my bones. If I can't feel my tendons and bones, I know I'm holding too much water.
That's a good one.
I'm holding water. And I do it in your hands.
Yeah.
So that's our, and you know, especially as much time as you're grabbing a bar and you're, you know, all those things, the weight equipment, everything, that should be one of the first things you're feeling, is like, hey, am I dehydrated? You got to feel your hands when you wake up. Right. So it can speak to inflammation and things too, but the better hydrated you are, the better you're going to handle these high volume workouts that, right, we're saying is really necessary for these selection programs anyway.
Yep. I love it. So let's up it a notch now, Jeff. In fact, we'll pull it like a Jeff Foxworthy thing. You might need a reset if, right? And I'll start with the first one, like a performance decrease. You see yourself getting slower. You see yourself not progressing with your weight, right? You're just kind of stuck in a plateau. Consider some form of reset that, you know, is either an increase or a decrease of volume. You can decrease the weight, you know, add some reps, you know, you could change things up. Maybe if you're stuck in a strength cycle and you're just not seeing any strength gains, you know, play around with something else, do a week or two of calisthenics. Or you could also try turning a power or strength cycle into a power cycle, you know, lighten it up. You know, change some eccentric loading, you know, and, you know, just change the speed of each rep, you know, just to give yourself a change, right? There's so many different ways to do it. How would you recommend on the, you know, you're not seeing performance gains during a strength cycle?
Yeah, you might need a reset if you're noticing, you know, okay, let's say you've been training for a regular period of time, a couple of weeks, legitimately, if you notice a significant decrease in your appetite, even though your workload is up. So your body will go, hey, stress is up, stress is up. One of the first things that happens to many people, and the next one will be, it was a sleep comment, but it's like, hey, one of the first things that people will notice, but they don't notice what it means a lot of times, is that decrease in appetite when workload is way high. Like, oh my God, I'm not hungry. I'm not hungry. I've been training so hard. Why am I not hungry? Your body's saying, hey, you're at risk of overtraining. So we're going to remove your appetite. So you actually on the backside can't produce that much work. Mm. It's a subconscious. It's like when you hit your finger and you stub your toe, what do you first thing you want to do is you want to grab it and squeeze it. Your body wants to naturally protect that area. And when, so we think of energy and your nervous system, is protecting you by taking away your appetite. Your nervous system will protect you by lessening your ability to contract. You're overly fatigued. You're chronically fatigued beyond where, like what Stu was saying, it's like, ah, I just can't get my sea legs under me. I just can't get the bar moving. I just can't, sluggish, right? These are all going to coincide, right? And then the next one, again, at Steel Thunder, is going to be, you might experience that sleep deficit as well. You know, you might need a reset if, right? Stu, go ahead and take it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I have seen that a couple of times personally where, yeah, I was working hard, but some reason I was like, hey, that's pretty good. I'm not that hungry, right? I didn't really think of it as a physiological response to doing too much. I thought it as of like, oh, well, I'm not hungry. That's good, right? I'm trying to lose weight, right?
Just to pause you on that same side, Stu, with the hunger thing, you might not even do as a loss of appetite. You might start craving things you don't normally want.
Yeah,
that's right in the same sort of thing. It's like, oh, I lost appetite. It's like, well, I don't feel like this, like lean meats, but I'll eat the shit out of some cheeseburgers, you know, like that same sort of thing. Yeah,
that's a good point. And then another one is just, you just fall asleep so quickly, which is a good thing. But if it's 2 hours earlier than your normal bedtime, you might need a reset.
Yeah.
My wife told me the other day, we had just started this strength cycle, right? And anytime you start a strength cycle, I don't care who you are. It's just, it's harder on you. It's harder on your recovery, yes. Especially as we age, it gets harder on your recovery. And I was falling asleep 7:30, 8 o'clock at night when I'm normally up 9:30, 10.
Yeah.
And she was like, man, what is wrong with you? I just had to go to sleep, you know, yeah. So, but she was right. I had to pull back a little bit and, you know, not push myself as hard as I was that first week. Cause that's real easy to do. You know, you get back in the weight room and you want to, you know, lift hard again. And yeah. So,
and if I may, like guys, what men and women, what we're not saying is we're not saying don't work hard. We're saying, if you are mindful, if you're aware of how hard you're working, you owe it to yourself and your training so you can continue to work hard like you want to and need to. And it's good for us, right? That very hard work, get that stress out, whatever you're going to say, like they complement each other. Don't think that off days are weakness. Off days allow the days you can train really hard to train just that really hard.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'll take it to another opportunity for you, especially if you're in the tactical professions. You know, we always talk a lot about situational awareness, you know, where you are on this earth and what's your situation, you know, threats, no threats, you know, those type of things. But we also, where I think we neglect is the internal awareness of what's going on. And you can start practicing that with your training, you know, and understanding some of these physiological responses to your training. You got to listen to them, right? You just have to understand that, you know, you're not sleeping well, you're not as hungry, you know, you're not sweating, you know, all these little things. And then you can start applying those even on a tactical level. And stay ahead of the game, especially if it's hot and humid, you know, and you start hydrating smartly, so, and then you're not a heat casualty, you know, halfway in the missions. So it comes, it's very smart to start practicing some of this internal awareness versus just pushing through and ignoring it, because the last thing you want to do is, seen this happen many times, you're starting to tread water at buds with scuba fins on, no hands, and you're in there for a while and you've been, you know, working out for a couple hours already in the day, but you never really kept hydrating throughout the process, and you're kind of low on electrolytes. Well, the last thing you want in that situation is a cramp, and you will have a calf cramp, you'll have a hamstring cramp, something will cramp in that situation and you fail.
Yeah.
Right. So things, when we talk about some of these feelings, and you know, internal awareness comes in handy on so many levels that you have to start practicing it.
Right. You know, and I think the thing too is, like, on that, like, admittedly, it's extremely hard for many of us, all of us, let me be truthful. It's hard for all of us to be aware in the moment so often when these life critical decisions, like so many of you that are tactical law enforcement, whatever you want to call it, you guys are training for the reasons that we're saying are important. Like it's important to you. It's life saving. It's life preserving. It's important. We get that. So that's what we're saying on that backside is, like, okay, because it's so important, we don't see it. It's like I always say, like, a relationship is always obvious what went wrong when it's over. So obvious what went wrong when it's over, but we don't see it in the moment because we're so emotionally attached to it, because we care. Whether we care about the person, or in this case, we really care so much about our job, the livelihood, the whys behind our job. That's why this is so hard for guys to see. So that foo-foo statement is kind of followed up by this. It's like, we're talking about fatigue, lethargy, these sort of things. What I'm also saying is, the people that you are closest to, your wives, your girlfriends, your sons, your daughters, your coworkers, your partners, when you feel yourself drawing away from those people or emotionally becoming a bit of a terrorist to them, right? That right there for me, that's my cross to bear, is like, I get real irritable around the people that I care most about. I need to do a better job of recognizing that too. Right. So, and I think that, and I'm not throwing anyone under the bus. That seems to be a very common thread in the tactical space, because you guys are so emotionally driven and connected to do your job well, and with morality and efficacy. And it's like, it's the phrase that the carpenter's house is never done. Mm. Right. The first responder, the tactical, the SEAL, the whatever it is, like, it's where we need homeostasis the most is at home. And that's like the most powerful, because Stu's wife is like, Stu, you're grumpy, take a nap. You're overtrained, take a nap. Catherine's like, dude, you're being an ass, go to get. So, man, that's the one right there, folks, because it's like, it's the holidays aren't supposed to bring this out in us. And unfortunately, many times it does to us. So that's the big thing to be aware of, is like, be aware of the big purple elephant in the room that just might be you.
Yeah, could be. Here's something that I am doing personally this year. And it's actually kind of hard this month, but I am taking 10 minutes at a minimum every day. And I'm mastering, not going to do it in one day, obviously, I'm mastering 10 yoga poses this year by doing 1 minute a day of these 10 yoga poses at a minimum. Some days I'll do 20 or 30 minutes of these 10 yoga poses, but I'm just mastering 10 basic yoga poses, nothing fancy. I just realized my reset requirement, I needed more flexibility. I'm feeling a little bit in hamstring, lower back. Yeah.
Let's go down. Okay. So Stu Smith, like, we can try to map out this amoebous, ambiguous hey, this is what the world might be dealing with. So let's just do this. Like, so there's one of the things that Stu is looking at for his reset this year. What are things that are on the table for Stu Smith to reset this year? Things you're sure you're going to do, things you're like, oh man, I might bite on this, or things you're like, well, if all things go well, this is maybe where, I don't know, where this is maybe where I end up going.
Yeah. Mine's, like I said, I've decided I just needed some flexibility, and I stretch. I have a mobility day. That's nothing but stretching and non-impact movements, you know, a whole day devoted to it. But I could probably do a little bit better with the small daily versions of that, that are maybe just a fraction of that time, you know, just 10, 15 minutes worth of stretching at the end of the day or the beginning of the day or in the middle of the day, whatever. And I got a little card of the 10 poses I'm doing. I just put it right by me and I just set my timer. Every minute I'm in a different pose for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And so far I've done it 3 days in a row. So I don't know what day it is. I guess it's the fifth. So I'm moving. I'm almost there. So,
yeah. And I bring that question up because of this, folks, is like, many of you, we understand you look towards Stu and I as like guidance on how to manipulate some of these things. And what I want you to hear is like, Stu is saying, hey man, like I'm really, really have this need to do these stretching 10 minutes a day. And people are rather going like, well, God, Stu, I figured you'd be out there trying to train to swim the English Channel, something extraordinary. Now, we're not saying that, you know, in these resolutions, you might discover that you feel the need to do something extraordinary like that. But what we're saying is what Stu is choosing is equally extraordinary. For someone to go, someone with his competences, his level of expertise and his level of experience and knowledge, he is purposely choosing to do something that some people might visualize and go, well, that's easy. Like just stretching 10 minutes a day. Come on. Don't overlook the value of something like that. Like, so mine's pretty similar. Mine was, you know, over the next year, and I'm not attesting specific numbers to it, but it's like, my goal is to take more time specifically each day and to for meditation in a form that might take on different forms of meditation. It might be your stereotypical sit in silence type thing, but it might be others, right? It's just, I need to do more of that because it's what brings me down. And I owe that to myself, but I also owe that to my athletes, and I owe that to my family, because that's what I don't need to get better at training. I don't need to get better at preparing for selection. I don't need to get stronger. I don't need to get faster. I don't need to get leaner. I don't need to get meaner. I don't need to get more tattoos. What I need is to be able to calm myself down with purpose and regularity. And that to me is important.
Yeah.
So that's my New Year's sort of reset goals.
Yeah, I love that one. That one's a classic. I tell you, I have found myself doing more walking. Now, of course, now here's the deal. You know, I work out about an hour and a half in the morning. I swim at lunch. You know, so I'm getting two and a half hours worth of activity, plenty of activity. The last thing I need is more activity. Right. So I don't need to go do a run workout in the evening. You know, I'm walking, you know, I'm walking the dog. I'm doing box breathing while I'm walking. You know, I'm just nice, easy, relaxing. And then at the end of that, I'm stretching for 10 minutes. I mean, that is what I feel my body needs at this particular time and place of my journey. And it's just little things that I noticed, you know, just a weird, you know, like serratus, you know, tightening sometimes. It almost feels like somebody's punching me in the ribs. You know, it's, you know, like a QL is tight or lower back.
Obliques. Yeah. My obliques are always fired up.
Yeah. So when I do a thoracic twist, like I got to really work on my spine twisting. You know, it's up and down works great. I can go front and back, no problem, but I got to work on rotation. Yeah. And I think that will probably be what puts me in that zone of where I can walk around and not be in pain.
Yeah.
You know, not that it's stopping me from doing anything. It's just something that I'm feeling, right? Because I'm paying attention.
It's right? Where your work is right now. Your work is there right now. Yeah.
I'm paying attention. You know, so here's another reset for you. Change topic a little bit. I heard a great quote the other day, and it might be an old quote, but it's the first time I heard it. Sitting is the new smoking.
Yeah. Right?
I heard that one for the first time. I don't know why it took me so long to hear that one, but sitting is the new smoking. So I, as a writer, I tend to sit a lot. I do have a standing desk that I play around with, but if you stand too much, your back hurts. If you sit too much, your back hurts. So you got to find that happy medium of doing things. And that's probably where I throw in those stretches. You know, I walk around, I always drinking water and have to go to the bathroom. So that gets you up. And then in that process of walking up and down the steps, doing that, throw in a couple stretches along the way. And that is very helpful with, you know, the aches and pains that come with constantly sitting or constantly standing. So.
Yeah, no, and here's the, I guess, like, you know, we could keep contributing to this like multitude of what ifs and things and whatnot. I think that, you know, it's worth repeating is that if you choose to make change your life, just understand is, and we know how excited many of you probably are making these changes. Don't try to make all the changes at once. You end up certain people out. I will say certain people in certain circumstances can make great change with their lives. Why? Because they hit bottom. Okay. But for most of us that are just looking at real improvement, like real holistic improvement in our lives, just pick one or two things, stick with them. Like, you know, you can triage it however you want, right? Hey, I'm going to fix something about my training. I'm going to try to not overlook something about my diet. And then I'm going to focus one little thing at sleeping or something. Don't just go, okay, I got to completely revamp my eating programs. I got to completely revamp my training. I got to completely revamp my mindset. I got to completely revamp my, it's too overwhelming for almost anyone.
Oh, really, absolutely. Yeah.
Unless you're at bottom. So if what you need to do is not, that's compassion. That's self-compassion for yourself. So change one or two things a week, maybe, but notice how much they will change you for the better at the end of that week. Don't be afraid to pat yourself on the back for doing it too.
Yeah. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about the reset as if we needed a reset to pull back. You know, there's also resets to push harder.
Yeah.
Right. You know, don't get us wrong. You know, I think probably the reason that's kind of our go-to is because we see so many people overdoing it every day, but it goes just the opposite as well. There's a reset to getting things
unfocused.
Getting moving again. You know, when we talk about reducing volume, reducing weight, reducing reps, reducing distance, you know, whatever that is, there it goes to the flip side too. You need to increase the reps, increase the weight, increase the volume, increase the distance. You know, there is a progression that takes place here as well. So if we're trying to make this one of those podcasts for everybody, you know, it's not just for the people that are overdoing it. It's getting started as well.
Yep.
You know,
so here's my, I guess I'll stop here. Here is my reset challenge to anyone listening. This is it. This is my reset challenge. And I think it's a pretty simple one. Straightforward. I say that. Pick any program for 6 weeks and adhere to that program to the best of your ability, right? When the best of ability means choose the weight or the intensity appropriate for the activity of your ability, right? Don't go into a gym and compare yourself to other people and where they're at. Don't compare yourself to us. Don't compare your run times to anyone else. Don't do that. Just give yourself 6 weeks of uninterrupted focus, right? On a program, running program, swimming program, resistance training program, or just get out and be physically active for six weeks of the majority. So in a 7 day work week, 5 of those 7 days of some physical activity for 6 weeks. And I'm certain that if you do that to the best of your ability, regardless if you're the highest performer or just the beginner, that 6 weeks will change your life.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You'll change the way you feel, change the way you look. And like Jeff said, you'll change your life with that. You know, and
that's one thing. I'm not resolutioning. I'm tired of the 30 days, the 30 day program, the program. No. Like we're saying, be tough. Anyone can do 30 days.
Yep.
If you want to go down this road and change your life and be part of it, then you all can be tough on yourself. Take it to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Change your life in 6 weeks.
Yeah. And you know, it takes a little while to build a habit too. And we all start off really motivated with whatever we're going to do. You're almost a little excited about this new idea, this new, you know, activity you're going to add to your life. And you're motivated to do it. That's good. You know, it's good to be motivated. But when you're motivated, you have to build good habits every day.
Yes.
Because if you don't do it, then you're not going to do it ever. Right. Because there's going to be a day when you're not motivated. In week 4 of this journey, but you've made 20 attempts at getting better already. And that, you know, those habits that you've created, that little bit of consistency that you've created, you've now built discipline. And the day that you don't, or the day that you don't feel like working out and you do, that is huge. You know, that is huge for what you're going to do. Because like I said, we're not always motivated and excited to go to the gym, you know, but we do it anyway, because it's just what you do. It's habit now.
If you want the truth and the literal truth of mental toughness, Stu just touched it. Like mental resiliency is toughness, is doing the things that we don't want to do, but we know they're what's right for us. And it's within a plan. That's why physical training following a plan is so life changing for many, because they're following a plan. The plan did what it said it was going to do. The exercise did exactly what, oh man, like now you go, well, I put the work in. Yeah. The plan laid out the map, but you did the work. That is why lifting weights, exercising, running, training, swimming. That's why so many people change their lives. Not just like you look at addicts and all these like, this is why, like, I think Stu and I are so excited to share this stuff, because it's like, this isn't just about law enforcement officers getting bigger, faster, stronger. We want so bad for you guys to experience the joy, the benefits that we've had a lifelong of experiencing. We just want you guys to experience a little bit of it, right? And when you do, like, we're so happy for you.
And the cool thing too, is that when you see that your work that you're putting into something is yielding results and you're happy with those results, it just fuels you for the next challenge you have. And it may have nothing to do with fitness.
Right.
You know, it may be professional. Yeah, exactly. It may be, you know, use this as a catalyst for all aspects of your life. You know, it's that powerful.
Yes.
So, Jeff, when we first started talking about COVID back in March or April, we said, perfect time for a deload, right? All the gyms are closed. Just do a deload, right? I actually got an email the other day from a guy that I guess he took us literally on that, and he deloaded for the last 8.5 months. And went into the weight room on his January 1st resolution. And now he's hurt so bad, right? He went back to his old workout. So if that was you, right, let's, you know, anytime that you're post-injury, post-illness, post-long break from exercise, don't go back to doing what you did before. Yeah. You have to treat yourself like a beginner again. So it's okay to do it 1 or 2 weeks, you know, of a deload cycle or something, but anytime you're starting to talk months since you've last done something, you got to pull back. You know, you got to be logical, and that is, it's just not, I mean, it's common sense too. I mean, you can't do that. You're just going to hurt yourself too much, too soon, too fast. You're going to break.
Yeah. Just to give you guys an example, many of you, I'm 2 weeks, 5 days post-surgery. I had double hernia surgery. I haven't touched a weight. I can't. Could I? Yeah, certainly. I was lifting weights the day after I had an appendectomy in 2009. Stupid, which is why I have double a hernia, right? So it's like, okay, I was literally lifting weights the day after an emergency appendectomy.
Wow.
So it's like, okay, I'm not going back on the table for something stupid. But like, my point is when I go back to training here in a couple of weeks, I got cleared to do aerobic activity. And, you know, I got clear. So, like, okay, now I'm going to do the opposite of what I would normally do typically. But my point is when I go back to training, to what I want to do and I'm able to do here in about 3.5 weeks, what am I, with all my years of experience in physical competence, the worst thing I can do is go right into the volume that I'm, air quotes here, guys, capable of. Just because I can do it doesn't mean I should. Right, this is the yoga pants thing. It's like, just because you can fit them on doesn't mean you should be wearing them. Just because I can go back to day, I could jump right into week 8, day 3 of my hypertrophy program. I could do it. There's a real risk to that, even with someone as much competence as I've got. So I'm going to train 2 to 3 days a week at moderate work for at least 3 weeks before I even attempt any of volume. Nice. Volume, not even talking weight. I won't touch near my submaximal weight, even not maximal, my submaximal weight. I won't touch for 6 weeks after I begin. So I'm giving myself 12 weeks before I even consider getting near 72 to 80% of my 5 RM.
Okay. So what is that comparable to your body weight? So how many weeks before you even touch a weight that is whatever, near your body weight?
It's probably going to be somewhere around 10 weeks.
Gotcha.
And I, you know, like I said, I'm nearly a 600 pound deadlifter still.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do anything over 135 for at least 7 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm right now I'm holding about 202 pounds right now is where I'm sitting at.
Yeah. Me too.
So it's just like, it's because guys, it's like my ego isn't worth another life-changing surgery and more waiting. And I'm using this as a timeline because many of you make mistakes and it decreases that timeline. It's in your favor. Don't decrease your timelines in your favor by being too driven and egotistical. So just take that for what it's worth, folks.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one to go into 2021 with. That's a good mindset. Yeah. You know, rebuild yourself. It wasn't built in a day. So nope. Don't start off where you were. Nope. So yeah, you might need a reset if, so just think about that term, right? Whenever you're, you know, considering your training, are you doing too much? Are you not doing enough? You know, let the internal awareness, you know, grow a little bit in you and let's try to figure it out. You know, if you got questions, email us, you know, happy to work with you. You can go to Jeff at performancefirstus.com. Check out his programs. I'm at stusmithfitness.com. You know, post some questions in this video up on YouTube. So happy to, answer that. So
awesome. All right, Stu. I appreciate it.
All right, Jeff. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
We'll see you.